I purposely picked readings that show the manifold dimension of the mystery we celebrate today. We celebrate the dedication of our local cathedral. But it has many, many facets. It's the church. In the first reading, we already have a prophecy. Solomon is praying. A very beautiful prayer. And he says, you see, Lord, you're everywhere. How can it be that you're in a temple when you're everywhere? And yet, when we turn and look at this temple, when we turn, you know, wherever we are in the world, if we turn and look at Jerusalem, at the temple, you see, why this physical? There is no God like you. You keep your covenant of mercy with your servants. Can it indeed be that God dwells on earth? Ask any good pagan philosopher. Absolutely not. Don't you understand? If there is one who somehow holds this whole universe together, he's beyond it. And there's no way he's going to trouble himself with our little problems. If the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built? Very good theological point, isn't it? God is everywhere. So what's the point of having a church? This is prophecy here. There's two prophecies like this in the Old Testament. In other words, God is everywhere, and yet in our heart we desire that there be a place where he is. Where's that place? Jesus. That instinct of the human heart is right. The omnipotent, ubiquitous, almighty, infinite God is right here. By his mercy. Isn't that beautiful? He trained Israel to long for what seemed to be impossible. And built this temple. A place to come. God's house, it's called. And Jesus calls it that, right? Don't make my Father's house a marketplace. There's another one. The people wanted a king. Yes, we know. God is our king. God runs everything. God, but we want somebody so we know where to go. Transcendence and presence. The incarnation. Almighty God is going to be right here in this bread and wine. Oh, you Christians have gotten carried away. I mean, no. No, this is our heritage. Don't you hear it? This is the way Solomon prayed. This is the way the people, they wanted a king. God said, all right, let them have a king. And the kings they had, most of them, you know, when we have, for instance, St. Matthew's Gospel, the beginning, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot. In that whole list, about three or four are really righteous. The rest, they're like the rest of us. Or sometimes worse. And out of that line comes the incarnation. God present to us. It takes a schooling to get this. Our imagination doesn't help much. God is everywhere. He's right here. Well, you have to start with knowing God. And he shows us. He teaches us. And the tenderness, the mercy of God to come and dwell in Jesus Christ, who is the temple, who is the King, who is finally the answer to all that longing. So we do have Emmanuel, God with us. We're getting ready now. We're slowing down the liturgical year, getting ready for Advent and Christmas, which is the Incarnation. So it's a nice time to celebrate this, right? If you look then at all the readings, you'll see, okay. So, can it be that God dwells on earth? If the heaven and the highest heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple? And then look. Look kindly on the prayer and petition of your servant, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry of supplication that I, your servant, utter before you this day. May your eyes watch night and day over this temple, the place where you have decreed you shall be honored. And the prayer goes on. It's not here, but the rest of it. Listen from your heavenly dwelling place and grant pardon when they come to this place and pray. Yearning for God to be present to us. They have another way. I was going to go on and develop it. Maybe I should talk to you about the other way. In the whole called Deuteronomic tradition. Same problem. Temple or shrine? And the answer is, these are the places, and finally this is the place, the temple, where God wills. God wills that Shakan Shemu Sham, that his name dwell there. Shakan, should we get Shekinah from that? Right? Shakan, he should dwell. Shekinim, to the apartment houses in Jerusalem these days, are called the Shekinim, you know, the dwellings. Shakan Shemu, his name, Sham. He wills that his name be there. So that anybody who goes there and opens up their heart and calls his name. Well, you've got to have a pure heart to call his name. Well, you've got to want a pure heart to call his name. All of this fulfilled in Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his kavod. We saw his glory. That's the radiant manifestation of the saving presence of God. The kavod. It settled on the temple, remember? Settled on the meeting tent before the temple. And it settles in Jesus, who is the very kavod of God. And we saw his kavod as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The kindness of God to dwell among us, to come among us. So we have a place to go to pray. And more than that, among us dwells the very incarnate God in the tabernacle. I'll tell you a story. I'll end with this story. I went on a day of recollection. We used to go every Monday up to the Immaculate, what do they call the Marians of the Immaculate Conception? Remember, they have that place up in Brookville there. They used to. How many in that day, you know, walked into this lovely church, you know, and about as, I wasn't thinking what I was doing, you know, about as present to myself as this book stand. I mean, I was just going. And as I genuflected, to the Blessed Sacrament. Not very recollected at all. I knew that Jesus' heart just beat faster because I came. That's our God. To learn who He is, to love Him, to obey Him, to repent and get forgiven, and understand this law of the incarnation. He is physically present to us. And that is why we celebrate the dedication of the building, yeah, but the dedication of the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. It is the physical presence of Christ on earth.